Chapter 1. You really had to hand it to the maker of this blindfold. No matter how I craned my neck, I couldn't see a thing. Butterflies hammered out a rhythm against the inside of my stomach. Not even my first day on the job had brought me this much anxiety as these tests my boss arranged. I took a deep breath, steadying my nerves, as always, by mentally reciting the elements of the periodic table. Element 23 was vanadium. Element 24 was chromium. Are you ready, Allie? My boss's voice came from directly in front of me, so close I could have reached out and touched her, which was precisely the point. I'd come to the store to test my powers. Missing Pieces was an antique shop that helped people find the new-to-them things they didn't know they needed. In reality, Olive Green had a psychic ability that allowed her to touch an object and get a vision of its true owner. She made matches based on those impressions, which is why the store rarely got returns or exchanges. People adored their purchases. The first time I entered this store, an irresistible sensation pulled me toward a gorgeous opal ring. When I put it on, I saw the death of the prior owner. Didn't just see it, I felt the car accident. Considering it had been my first vision ever, and as a biology major, I prided myself on logical thinking, it was safe to say that wasn't my finest moment. I couldn't wrap my head around the possibility of psychics even existing, much less that I might be one. But Olive and I had come a long way, and we'd been doing experiments all morning. Hence the blindfold. Something light touched my fingertips, distracting my thoughts. I wasn't prepared. The item started to roll away, and without thinking, I grabbed it. Instantly, my world shifted. A scroll of parchment lay in front of me. Tiny, cramped writing filled the surface, the black ink glistening. In my right hand, I held a long, feathered quill. An open inkpot sat on the large wooden table before me. Men filled the room. Picking up the parchment in one hand, I adjusted my bifocals and squinted at the top line. We hold these truths to be self-evident. With an excited squeak, I dropped the pen. The feeling of it hitting my toe through my boot told me the world had returned to normal. Alas, my blindfold had replaced the wire-rimmed glasses. Before Olive could say a word, I asked, "You have one of the original pens used to sign the Declaration of Independence? Why didn't you tell me? Kevin would love this." My brother was a lawyer, excited by all things legal and boring. I meant that pretty much how it sounded. Her voice held a trace of amusement. "Because that's not for Kevin." "Right. Duh. I take it you had a vision then?" "Yes, but I don't feel like it counts. I grabbed the pen so I wouldn't drop it, but then I was basically holding it the way someone would use it to write." My gift didn't work like hers. You could hand me 100 items and I wouldn't have any idea who the owner was unless it came with a name tag. Instead, sometimes I saw snippets of important events in a person's life. Most often deaths so far, but other life-altering moments too, like a wedding proposal once. That was nice. "Sorry about that," Olive said. "Next time, I'll make sure you're ready." "I'm ready. Let's keep going." "Okay. This isn't something you'd use holding it like a pen, so go ahead and grip it as tight as you want." She set something cool on my palm. I closed my fingers around the item, trying to focus on it with my mind. The weight of the object told me it was probably metal, but the whole point of this exercise was to avoid using my five senses. I needed to learn to choose when and where to trigger a vision, rather than having them come to me at inopportune moments. Nothing was happening, so I put my hands together, allowing myself to determine what I held. Flat, smooth, cool to the touch, some kind of jewelry, in a circle. Olive had given me a bracelet, but that's not what we wanted to find out.